This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nathan Zagura joins us right now to talk about this game on Sunday. He's from the Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Dragomir, good morning to you.
Good morning, Monfer. I like the zest I hear in your voice.
Oh, I'm zesty today, my friend. These are some zesty comments to make to you. We got a game coming up on Sunday. Of course, we're going to go around the league a little bit with you because we love your perspective on everything going on in the NFL. I got a toughie to ask you right when we start off. You ready?
Yep.
Has DeJuan Jones taken over as the left tackle? Is he the left tackle of the future with your Cleveland Browns?
I think that's a very good question, and I think it's one that will play out over the next few weeks. In my mind, I would love to see DeJuan Jones continue to start at left tackle. I think that would be fantastic, not only for him, but for the Cleveland Browns to be able to find that. And if you think about it, you know, as a fourth-round pick, he was on the all-rookie team last year. He's clearly gotten himself after that knee caused him some issues early in the year. He's gotten himself in a much better position. There are things in his technique that he can refine, and I know he's working to do that. But I think DeJuan Jones, and you heard Jameis Winston say it, you know, he could be one of the best tackles in the league. I can tell you I was with Joe Thomas of the Hoff, who was in town for that last game, and he was very pleased with what he saw from DeJuan Jones at left tackle. So don't take my word for it. I'll defer to Joe Thomas's his knowledge and expertise on that position, but he was very encouraged and thinks that he can be a star at that left tackle position. So I hope the answer is yes, and I think that we're going to get a good chance to find out here over the rest of the season and into the future.
Well, what's amazing, Nathan, is that DeJuan obviously got off to a sensational start the early part of his career, really his rookie year on the right side, the game against Pittsburgh and T.J. Watt. We still share with our grandkids some of those videos. But then this year, it was the right side of the line he was really, really struggling with, and that led to people starting to talk about his weight, his knees, you know, his body in general. And then last week, it looked great. So why do you think that was?
Well, I think the knee was bothering him early in the year. I know it was, and that probably when you're as big as DeJuan is, if you've got a little bit of a knee issue, you know, I would imagine that's going to affect your ability to be in the type of physical condition that you want to be in overall. And so I think with that being behind him, I think he's worked very hard to get himself back to where he needs to be. And I think we saw a guy who was much better in his movement skills. If you were, you know, the one thing he's got to stop doing sometimes is he leans a little bit. And as the Hoff would say, big tree fall hard. When he's got to just keep his balance. When he does that, he's impossible to get around, and he can be a force in the run game. So I think very encouraging there. And I wanted to give you guys just a little insight about DeJuan Jones, who's only in his, obviously, his second season here with the Cleveland Browns. But after that win on Sunday against the Ravens, as I was walking to my car, he stopped me, and he and I have always gotten along very well. I'm a huge fan of his and certainly want him to be incredibly successful. I think he's a great kid. But he stopped me to say, you know, to offer his condolences to me about Jim Donovan. So for to me to have a guy that's got that kind of awareness and that kind of heart, you know, you love a guy like that, and certainly he's got an immense amount of talent, not only in terms of his size, but in terms of his ability. So I'm rooting for DeJuan Jones. And, yeah, I think that's – it's tough. You know, this is – you're playing against the best in the world, and if you're not where you need to be a little bit, it obviously can have a big impact. And we're seeing him get where he needs to be. And we saw, I thought, a very good performance against the Baltimore Ravens.
Nathan Zagura joining us here on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I mean, it's no secret we're fans of DeJuan Jones. I mean, I couldn't agree with you more about how just a great kid he is, even though, I mean, he is a 6'8 monster. He went as LeBron James for Halloween. He looked incredible, by the way. He looked, which, yeah. I'm like, man, he's got to be one of the few people in America that can go as LeBron James as Halloween and be just as tall as the guy he's actually portraying in his Halloween costume. Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable how large he is. Nathan, let's go across the offensive line here. You know, Joel Bitonio talked about the offense and said, hey, you know, the plays really didn't change. Now, he specifies, like, hey, I'm an offensive lineman, so maybe it's a little bit different for the guys who are skill positions. The plays didn't really change. Did you see much change from the offense from last week and week seven to week eight?
Well, I saw a change in the execution of the offense from 2 weeks ago. I did not see much change in the offense. The one thing that kind of stood out to me that was a little bit different was I thought Elijah Moore was given more opportunities to run some wide receiver routes down the field, and I thought did great with that. So I thought that was maybe a minor tweak, but for the most part, no, this is the same offense. And it's not only the same offense in many ways from earlier this year, it's the same offense from last year. That looked a lot like the offense we ran with Joe Flacco towards the end of the year, and I think the biggest difference in it is obviously in a quarterback with Jameis Winston. He is willing to throw the ball downfield. He is willing to throw the ball with anticipation, and he was accurate down the field. And I think, you know, when you go back and watch the tape from earlier in the year, there were plays to be made, and I think that was part of the great frustration with this offense and its inability to gain yards in chunks and also to put up points. It centered around that. There were plays to be made, and I think what you saw was, and it was kind of a perfect storm of things, right? Like, I would not expect Jameis to throw for 330 and three with no interceptions against this Chargers team. This is the number one scoring defense in the league. Last week you had kind of a perfect combination of that was already the worst pass defense in the league, and they were down their top two corners. So it all added up, I think, to a very good game. But stylistically, in terms of the concepts, not different in terms of I thought maybe we were even under center, perhaps a little bit more, which is more of a throwback to the year before with Jameis Winston, with Joe Flacco. So this is the offense. This is the Kevin Stefanski offense that we know and love. There are certainly some wrinkles in there from Ken Dorsey, but this wasn't like we completely changed anything. You changed a little bit of the sequence, and as Ken Dorsey said, and I got to talk with Coach Stefanski yesterday, they were in constant communication, and Dorsey actually thought it was really cool, and I think Coach Stefanski did, that he was able to see so many more things that he wasn't really able to see when his eyes were always on his play sheet, and they were able to collaborate, and they even added some things in that weren't in the game plan that ended up going for big plays because of their combined what they saw and bouncing ideas off each other. So I thought it was a very successful thing, but no, this is the same offense. It just took advantage, and I think you could go back to the very first pass of the game to David Njoku. That's a ball that might not have been thrown earlier in the season, and let alone become a completion. So I think you saw a willingness and an ability to throw with anticipation down the field and then an accuracy down the field that allowed for this team to make those chunk plays at a rate we had not seen all year and allow for this team, you know, to have that 300-yard passer, which we have not seen since Joe Flacco.
Nathan Zagura with us on the hotline. Jameis Winston had started 81 games now in the NFL, and I wonder, was I not being fair to him when people would ask me about Jameis and whether he could even be the starter next year for the team? I said, guys, I mean, we know what Jameis is. But is there a chance Jameis could actually get better and could evolve as a quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, he's still, from a quarterback standpoint, he's young. He's got the size. He was the number one overall pick. You know he's got the arm talent. If you go back to New Orleans now, he's 7-4 in his last 11 starts, and if you go back to New Orleans and include it with the Browns, he's got better than a 2-1 touchdown to interception ratio. So the big knock on Jameis Winston, right, was he's going to turn the football over. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And certainly he has. You mentioned the 81 starts, you know, 99 interceptions he's thrown during that span, which is the most since he's come into the league in the NFL, even though he's played, you know, 50-ish games less than everybody around him. But if he can eliminate some of those things, and we'll be honest about it, right? There should have been some interceptions, at least one for sure, in this game, and there were zero. So that helps the final numbers. But if he can eliminate some of those plays, there's no doubt he's something. The guy threw for 5,109 yards. When you lead the league in passing and you throw for 5,109 yards in the National Football League, you can absolutely play. The question is, can you eliminate some of the things that have held you back? And in the case of Jameis Winston, right, it's been interceptions, pick sixes, and you know, the poor timing of some of those things. But you go back now to New Orleans, 2021. So his last 11 starts, he's 7-4, as I mentioned. He has thrown 24 touchdowns in those 11 games or 11 starts, and he has only thrown 11 picks. If you get Jameis Winston doing that, you have an opportunity, I think, to win a lot of football games.
All right, Nathan, so we were looking at Nick Chubb. His yards per carry still nowhere near Nick Chubb territory. However, there were some chunk plays last week. There were some plays where he was bottled up 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage, and he miraculously would get back to the line of scrimmage. So do you feel that Nick Chubb, we could be on the verge of getting our special old Nick Chubb back?
I think you're seeing it, honestly. I think that it's more he is not getting the blocking that he needs. Last week, for example, Nick Chubb averaged 3.3 yards per attempt. He averaged 3.25 yards after contact per attempt. So that means he's basically getting hit at the line of scrimmage on average. You want to get a running back averaging 5 yards a carry like Nick Chubb has done every single year in his career, you give him an opportunity to get 2 yards down the field on average before taking contact. That has been the biggest problem so far this year, is that you're not giving Nick Chubb that opportunity to make those kind of plays. So you need to allow him to get down the field and get that head of steam going, and that's how you get some of those chunk plays. Now, I think the vision was there. I thought the jump cuts were there. I thought the power and the contact balance were all there. It's just more of giving him a little bit of a better push down the field and then allowing those plays to become, you know, that are 3-yard gains, to allow those to become, you know, 10-yard gains, to allow them to become 15, 20, and then you hit the home runs in there, and that brings the whole average up. But that's the issue right now, and it's on the season, honestly, for Nick Chubb. The first week, he averaged getting about a 0.5 yard downfield before taking contact. Last week, as I said, it was not even a yard, not even a 10th of a yard down the field before he took contact. For the season now, he's averaging 2.7 yards per attempt. He's averaging 2.63 yards after contact per attempt. So he is, on average, on his 27 carries, getting hit right at the line of scrimmage first. That's not a successful recipe for any running back in the league. The fact that he's doing what he's doing tells you that Nick Chubb is still very much special.
I want to go around the NFL with you, Nathan. Nathan Zagura joining us here from the Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Malachi Corley almost scored his first NFL touchdown last night, but he dropped the ball before he got into the end zone. What do you do if you're the Jets? Can you do anything as an NFL? It happens once a year at least to somebody, whether it be a major college football or the NFL. What do you do to them, or is it just like, hey, the media reaction and the questions you have to answer, maybe that's punishment enough?
Yeah, I don't know. You do anything to them, but here's the thing that makes this one even crazier. I guarantee you in every offensive meeting room or even defense, I bet every team meeting room around the NFL, last week the Falcons got so lucky. Kyle Pitts basically did the same thing against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I guarantee you that was shown in every single meeting room around the National Football League that, you know, it's what Ostreicher's coach told him. You don't score till you score. So you have got to make sure if you want to drop the ball, do it after you run through the whole entire end zone. So I guarantee that was said, and I guarantee it was said in a Jets meeting room. And so that becomes even more egregious to me because this is something that Kyle Pitts got very lucky. The Atlanta Falcons got very lucky. So, hey, let's all learn from this. And then when you get it put in front of you and you still don't learn from it, that was crazy to me. Crazy. Why is it cool to drop the ball? I don't even get why that's a cool thing to do. I don't even understand it.
I don't know.
Get in the end zone.
I don't know.
A proper spike if you want. I don't get it.
I actually thought that was like the Leon Lett thing you brought up earlier on that lineman. Like that, I thought he got it knocked out when I first watched. That's how I felt. Go ahead, Tone. Go ahead.
We are talking, you know, just about the teams that we think we could have to catch up to in wild card scenario. And the Jets won yesterday. So they're at three wins. We're looking around the bottom of the barrel of these AFC teams. And I'm like, man, if the Browns could just get any kind of a run together, who do you think ultimately they'd be jockeying in position with when it's all said and done for those wild card spots that we should be rooting to lose and lose and lose?
Well, I think it obviously starts with the team that you're playing this Sunday, right? I mean, right now the Chargers are at 4-3. You're going to have to take care of them. You think about the Denver Broncos, who are 5-3 right now. That's a team that if you want to make it in the playoffs, you're competing with them for a wild card. Kansas City's going to win that division. So there are two teams right there with winning records in your conference that you're going to play that you're going to need to beat to go ahead and get in there. I mean, you got two games with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I know right now we are well behind the Pittsburgh Steelers, but when you have two head-to-heads with them, if you can win those are games that will go a long way to getting in. The Jets, certainly, they're a team. I think Indianapolis, now with the switch to Joe Flacco at 4-4, they're going to be a team that is you're going to have to contend with in terms of finally getting in here. I mean, Buffalo's going to win their division. I think the AFC North is still up for grabs, but if you were right now, if you had to pick, you know, back a team, you're probably going to back the Baltimore Ravens. I think the Texans are going to win the AFC South, although that one's a little bit closer, and then Kansas City's going to win the AFC West. So the teams are, it's Denver and the Chargers and the West, and guess what? You get to play both of them. That's big for you. The Indianapolis Colts, I think, are there. Obviously, the Steelers and Bengals, you're going to have to deal with, and the Jets. And I don't know if the Dolphins are going to be able to go on a late season run here. There's a lot of talent on that team, but they're playing Buffalo in Buffalo this week. A loss there puts them, you know, at 2-6, and they would be 2-4 in the conference. The one thing the Browns have going for them is that they went 0-4 against the NFC East, which is not great. I wish that they were not saying that, but that four of their losses are out of conference. The Browns are 2-2 in conference. A win here puts the Browns at 3-2 in conference. And if you were to compare that to some of the other teams, that would put them ahead of the Chargers, who would drop to 2-3 in conference. It would put them ahead of the Indianapolis Colts, who are currently 3-3 in conference. It would put them ahead of the Bengals, who are 1-3 in conference, and the Jets, who are 3-4. So those things matter in tiebreakers. So this is a very important game because you're going to need to win this one. You're going to need to go on the bye. You're going to need to come out. You're going to need to beat New Orleans. And then all of a sudden that Thursday night game against the Steelers might have a little bit of juice to it and a chance to get you back to 5-6. But it starts by going 1-0 this week and taking care of business against a conference opponent that is exactly one of the teams, Lima, that you would identify saying, this is somebody that the Browns are going to have to edge out to get into the playoffs.
Nathan, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you later this week. All the best.
You got it, guys. Thank you. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week, with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.